Welcome to Time for Success. This is the podcast where we jump into what does it take to be successful in all areas of life, strategies for business, strategies for family, and you know, maybe even spirituality. I don't think we've hit on that one yet, but you know, we'll hit on that eventually. And what steps we take to get there. So this week we've got Matt Boyer with Boyer Painting and Boyer Academy. And we're really excited because he's got a lot to say about community involvement and how that's really helped his business. So, but real quick, before we get into all that, I'd love to introduce Matt, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And I'd love to hear a little bit more about what you do. So please, yeah, tell everybody what you do.
So I'm the owner operator of Boyer Academy and Boyer Painting. Boyer Painting during the day, Boyer Academy in the evenings. I've had Boyer Academy for roughly 11 years. I've been in Taekwondo roughly 28 years, and I've been a painter for right around 20 years. So but turned both those passions into businesses.
That's great. All right, so you got started when you were a kid, around 8 or 10, in martial arts. What about painting? Like, when did you figure that one out?
One of the gentlemen that I trained with in Taekwondo was a painter. And I actually had interviewed at America's Pub at Westport to be a bartender, was supposed to start that following week. And he mouthed off, we always talk smack in class, tournaments. I mean, we literally were stopped at a tournament once and asked to please stop smack talking, like that we were bothering people standing around us because we were just trash talking each other, just having fun. It was all in fun. Like we neither one of us had feelings, so we didn't have any feelings to hurt. So it worked.
Naturally.
And he's like, well, if you're a man, you could do what I do. I was like, sure, I do what you do. You know, tell me when and where. And I ended up with a union apprenticeship Monday morning. That was on like probably a Thursday or Friday night. I think Monday morning. Yeah, it had to have been Monday because I think I was working. My first shift was supposed to be during the week. And I was like, well, I'll come check that out during the day and I'll go check this out that night. And I liked it.
Yeah,
I just enjoyed it. My instructor at the time was like, wait, hold on. You just walked into a union apprenticeship by arguing with someone in the parking lot. I'm like, pretty much. Yeah, just being sarcastic. And she's like, you moron, if you do not take this and run with it, because I was 23.
Yeah,
somewhere in there. And 23, somewhere right. I was a little over 21. I had to be because I was going to be a bartender. So somewhere in there. And she was like, you're an absolute moron if you go down there and bartend instead of taking a union job with benefits and everything like that. And so I became a painter.
Wow.
And they told me, yeah, you won't last. No one ever lasts. And I was like, oh, so now it's a challenge. Okay. Done it since.
Do you think they did it on purpose? Just
Most people did not last. Oh, okay. No. We were very hard to work with. In general, you get a lot of people that join different trades and realize, oh, I got to work outside when it's hot.
Yeah.
And they leave. It's a lot of turnover.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I mean, it sounds like it was kind of a passion. So, I mean, what is it about painting that
I like being able to step back and look at something and say, I did that. That's the part that I enjoy. I still, with my crews, you know, with as many crews as we have, I'll go do a lot of our exterior work because I love to be able to step back to the curb of the house and look at the changes, especially if it's something that excites me. I'm really bad about cutting people a little bit better deal on a paint job if it's something I really want to do. We're doing like a drastic change. My guys are painting one today that went from tan to dark grays. It's going to look awesome. And I have to step back because I really like to go do those. I like that feeling of accomplishment when you step back. You're like, wow, I did that.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things I've always found fun with painting. People go to work. They'll meet us at 7 a.m. Hey, we're going to paint your house today. I'll have three or four guys with me. And they'll come home a lot of occasions to a painted house, depending on what size the job is.
Yeah.
And it's always fun when they walk in the house or like, whoa. Everything's redone. It's fresh. It's clean. And I've just always liked that sense of accomplishment from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's always spoke to me. And just putting your headphones on and painting. It's just kind of meditative. You know, you just run in lines and it's not.
Yeah.
If you're just the guy working the brush on the crew, or some people really like rolling the paint, it's very relaxing. Now, on the other fold of that, there's a lot of people who would say I'm absolutely crazy right now because they hate painting. I literally speak to them every day when I bid jobs.
Right. Yeah.
They're like, I'll do anything but paint. I mean, I get that all the time. Or they'll say, hey, I'll paint the little rooms. I'm not getting on a ladder. You know, different things like that. So it's not something. It's a task that a lot of people don't like.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying about the meditative, because I kind of enjoy painting, you know, a little bit myself, because you know, you just can kind of just zone out.
Yeah, and, just do it and relax. It's not too crazy. I mean, it's not always like that. We do a lot of stuff that, you know, requires you to be scaling off the side of a house or something. It's a little shaky, but just your average interior paintings, you know, it's relaxing. And like I said, you're able to do something with your hands. You're able to do something and say, hey, I did that. You know, we don't tape off a lot. Everything's freehand. So it takes talent and it takes a lot of practice.
So talking about the painting, I mean, the academy side, you know, the martial arts side, you've been doing that since you were a kid, but I'm sure that there's some sort of deeper passion there. What is it you think
with
about
martial
that?
Arts?
Yeah.
I, since as far back as I can remember, have loved martial arts. I wanted to do it from a very early age, but my parents made a mistake that a lot of parents do. They took me into a school. And it was with a very macho, I mean, this would have been about 1986, I think, is when my dad took me into one.
I think I'm seeing that stereotype in my head right now.
It is. Yeah. It's the macho karate kid stereotype. No, but the first thing he told him is he'd make me tough. Your son, he'll be tough. He'll be a fighter. And my dad didn't like it. My family, in general, has very violent tempers. Brother, my sister, my dad, hair triggers. Not like abusive wise, but getting into fights, always in fights when they were younger. I was very little. And my dad was, because of seeing how my brother and my sister and how he was and how his father was, he looked at martial arts as, oh yeah, that's just what I need to do, is teach him to even be better at fighting. So then when he blows up, he's more dangerous.
Yeah.
That was the way my father looked at it. And so when he walked into school, it's what the guy said, Matt, you're out of here. He's like, we're not doing this. He pulled me out. I vaguely remember going to the place with him. I remember sitting in like an office and then it never happened. Oh, and it was kind of, part of it too, was he had a lot of guys that he worked with in the 70s that literally would go do karate classes just to go get into bar fights. Like, that was their thing. They were just not, he ran with some rough people.
Oh my gosh.
So he wouldn't let me get into it. I wanted to do it bad. I watched all the martial art, anything that was martial arts themed. I probably wore out the VHS of The Karate Kid. Anything that had any thing to do with martial arts, I was interested in. Put me in baseball, I quit. He looked, any sport they put me in, I just had absolutely no interest in it.
Yeah.
And finally, at the age of, you know, somewhere, like I said, 8 or 10, somewhere in there, a school opened in O'Fallon. And it moved from one side of O'Fallon to the other. When it moved, it was right by our house. And my dad was like, just let's go. Let's go check it out. Let's see what it's about. Mm-hmm. And it just worked. We checked a couple places out. And it's kind of funny going to own a school. And this is something, this is not made up. It does sound fictional, though. But when I was a kid, my dad took me around to probably 5 or 6 schools. Mm-hmm. And I remember going into one that was in a Parks and Recs building. It was just like 3 people out there bouncing around on the mats or bouncing around on the wood floor. And I remember just shaking my head, being like, no. My dad's like, don't you want to watch? I'm like, absolutely not. This is ridiculous. Why would they have a karate class here? Like, this is a joke. Like, I remember even back then critiquing how they were conducting business. Like, I did not like the way the martial arts class appealed to me. And we went to a couple of them. Well, then when we walked into a full-fledged dojang, trophies on the wall, Korean instructor up front, I was like, oh, I found my Mr. Miyagi, and I was good.
Yeah.
But it was a school. You walked in, there were trophies and weapons and black belts and people kicking things. And I still, like, my school now, when you walk in, it's trophies and there's weapons and it has to have like the tackier. I feel like the more medals and plaques and pictures I can hang on the wall, the happier I am. When we were at our previous location, I steered away from that and it just didn't do it for me. And so when we recently moved to our new location, which is a better location, first thing I did, hang up a ton of stuff. I remember people coming in from the plaza, or my employees were helping me from the painting company, going, how much are you hanging up? I was like, I want it to be tacky. Not cluttered, not dirty, just I want medals and I want weapons and I want this place to just, I don't want there to be any question that this is where you learn a martial art.
Nice.
You know, the only thing that's missing is the smell. Most of the old school dojangs always were funky, but mine's clean. That's the only thing. The old school dojang, you know, they were always had a little bit of a foot funk to them.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've definitely walked into some studios where, need to do a better job, like, cleaning.
I just remember my mom complaining about that when I was a kid, if we didn't keep the mats clean. At one point in time, I realized that I was the only one that mopped the school when I was still as an instructor somewhere else. And I remember kind of laughing going, well, who mopped it before me? Because I bought the mop and brought it up here. And I got grossed out thinking about all the years that no one had ever hit that place with an actual disinfectant mop. Because I remember looking around one day going, is it never clicked? I didn't think of it. I was just like, oh, we need a mop. I went and bought a mop bucket and a mop. I bought it for the school and had never crossed my mind until I remember one night mopping going, huh, that's gross. No wonder I had had warts on my foot when I was a kid.
Man. So yeah, you heard it here first if you're going to open up a martial arts studio.
Disinfect.
Disinfect the darn floor. Yeah. All right. It's good to know. You know, but at the same time, you know, you want to super tacky. But I mean, I remember Mr. Miyagi didn't have like a bunch of metals and all that. I mean, you made you sand the floor and.
Oh, yeah. You know. Yeah, well, I've done that before, too. You know, wash the RV, clean the windows, things like that. You know, that there's always that.
Oh, OK. Good. So, you know, it's great that you've been able to turn two great passions into your line of work, your income and what you do. Now jumping into passion, I mean, a lot of people think that it's just going to be like super easy kind of starting out and I know that you kind of feel like getting community involvement kind of changed some things for you and really started getting some things to escalate. And we'll talk about that, what you did, but first of all, kind of what was it like in the early days? Was it, I'm passionate about this and everything just started working and falling into place? Or, were there a few trials and tribulations before,
Little of both. I would say when I first opened the doors on Boyer Painting was a little different because I had done the hard side with Boyer Academy and I had a plan already. I'd kind of always thought, hey, I'm going to open something else. I've always had been looking for some type of opportunity. I talked to friends that own tanning salons and car washes and different things. Different people had called me full-scale gyms over the years, called me up that knew I wanted something else, kind of offered me different things. And I had really kind of cut my teeth with Boyer Academy. And when we first started, there was a couple little things to overcome. And part of it's pride. I moved out of my apartment, moved back in with my dad, who was single at the time, to be able to focus fully on the school. I would work during the day, run it at night. If things got tight, I would do a side job on the weekend to pay the bills at the school. You know, I might do $1,000 paint job on a Saturday. And instead of going and buying something cool with it, I'd pay the electric bill and, you know, a little extra towards the rent when we first started. The typical grinding away, you know, friends were going out. I might go out for a little bit and then go home because I didn't have any cash.
Right.
You know, it was all wrapped up my business. We had one July, our very first July we were open. A lot of people took the month off, said, hey, we'll come back when school starts back up. Well, we had no type of payment processing or any type of a contract. I just lost half my students in 1 month, 14th of July. Everybody's like, yeah, we're just going to, we'll see you in September or so after school gets rolling. Lost half of them. So I had a couple old cars out front of the house. I went home. My dad said, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to sell the cars. I said, I'm gone tonight. I had literally had people bidding on cars in the street that evening. It was comical. At the end of the night, my dad was standing there and I had everything that I had sold except my daily driver. And because I had a 58 Impala, I had a 71 Volkswagen Super Beetle convertible. And we had an old Cutlass, an old Cadillac at the house that we kind of shared. My dad and I had like seven or eight cars parked at the house. Total Hoosiers. And so I sold everything, paid all the rent for the next couple months so we could keep the school going, looked into payment processing and some different things, learned my lesson.
Yeah.
Where we kind of went wrong with community involvement was I got super involved, did everything I could, worked with every group I could, went to every school district, did 7 a.m. martial art classes for the Wright City School District for free, would do 265 kids a year up there.
Wow.
It was great to get my name out, did any event in town that I could get a table at. Any place in town. At one point in time, I was doing free martial art lessons at preschools. It was four zip codes and it was 1,000 kids a week. And I bought a little bitty Mercury Topaz to drive because I could not afford the gas in my Silverado. I gave the Silverado to my, I guess, girlfriend at the time. She's now my wife. And let her drive it. And I drove this little Topaz. I just ran the wheels off that thing, running all over the place teaching. We got to where there was one night at the school, a friend of mine came out to visit. So I told him, I said, we are just booming. And they're like, man, you haven't been open long enough to be booming yet. She had to stand outside the windows and wave at me because she couldn't come in. The lobby was so full of new students.
Wow.
problem was, is I overran myself. I did not have any black belt instructors. It was just me.
Oh, well.
And I didn't have the proper class schedules and the proper things in place to handle the volume. So we literally filled the school completely up and then boom, they dropped off. But in that meantime, I quit doing all the community involvement stuff because I was like, we're here. We're established. We're good. I don't need to do all this anymore. I can chill. I can have my school. I can teach word of mouth, do some paid advertising, had some money coming in then. And as soon as we did that, everything was cool. And then slowly and slowly and slowly, we just got slower and slower and slower. Less new enrollments. Over the 11 years I've been open, we have averaged 11.8 new students a month, if you break all the math down. But it just kept getting slower. Just class size kept getting smaller. And part of it was the economy at the time. I opened up in the third quarter of 2008.
Oh, perfect. Perfect time. Yeah.
Awesome time. Whoever gave me the business advice that said, hey, you should go open a business right now should probably still be smacked. But at the same time, it taught me a whole lot of lessons that if I were to open now, I signed up 12 new students last week and had that type of success, I probably wouldn't have learned the lessons and valued it as much as I do.
Yeah.
But that was where we just, it kind of messed us up. We were doing really good and I backed off. I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine. I said, hey, I've been doing all these events for 2-3 years now. I said, and every time we do an event, we get 10 new students. Parade, booth, preschool, wherever I went, 10 new students. 10 new trials off it. Every time, clockwork. I knew as soon as I did them, I could count on 10 new people coming in that following week. And I talked to him. I said, hey, I'm in year 3 now and it's not happening no more. I'm not getting the 10 new students. People are walking up saying, oh, you're Matthew Boyer, Boyer Academy. They know who we are. And he said the same thing. He said, yeah, I've had that. And we both discuss it. Maybe the magic wears off. Maybe people aren't as interested at that point. So I stopped. And that is one mistake I'll never make again, because it's just constantly doing things. And you can call it karma. I kind of look at it like that. It's you're putting good energy out. You get the good energy in. I can literally sit down and look at things I've done with Boyer Painting. And I've done things and reached out and done things in the community. And I've had people come up and tell me that, you know, that's one reason, because of the stuff Boyer Painting does and Boyer Academy is attached. People are like, that's one of the reasons we train at your school, is because we want to be a part of that. The stuff you do for the community and your business. And that means the world to me. People are proud of that. And I want to do more and keep doing more and keep doing as much as we can. But you can, like I said, it's almost like a karma thing. The more energy out, I feel like as long as I'm constantly doing something, whether it's booths, tomorrow I'm hosting a free self-defense class workshop at the school.
Yeah.
Had before we logged in for this, I had 445 interested, 97 going. Of the 97 going, 30 have responded. They're all bringing 3 people. I'm looking to have 268 to 280 people there tomorrow.
Wow.
The 20-something of this month, I'm not sure what date it is, I bought 500 masks with the Boyer Academy logo, and I'm going to give those out to children in the community.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to do a giveaway. Just anything I can ever come up with to be part of the community, give back to the community, because without... Yeah. Them, you don't have anything. I tell the parents at my school all the time, thank you for coming here, because this was my dream to do this. And I would look really weird with cardboard cutouts standing everywhere while I ran around the gym correcting them on their kicks.
Right, right.
So that's kind of the mentality I take to it. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for a strong community, and I take inspiration from local businesses and stuff around me, and I try to partner and do things with them that, that do that in the community as well.
Yeah.
And say, hey, they're doing that. Oh, that's a great idea. Let's get on board with that. Or, oh, here's a great event. This one's connected to this business over here. And that means it's legitimate. Let's be a part of that. Let's try to help these people.
That's cool.
And it seems being genuine with it helps.
Yeah. Yeah. Genuinely trying to help. Yeah. Cause I mean, I think to a degree people can kind of, you know, smell it, if you will, if you know, you're not really, your heart's really not in it. You're just doing it just kind of to
I've always felt like I had a sixth sense with that. You can meet people, you go to buy a car, you can tell when they're, you know, they're, I went to look at a Cobra Mustang one time, and I could tell the guy had 12 deals going, and he'd answer me, but he really wasn't. It was just, you know, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, it looks great. Yeah, sign here. You know, what he wasn't genuinely taking his time to talk to me about the car.
Yeah.
And I've always tried to not do that with my students. You know, sometimes I'm a little too relaxed with them, you know, joking, cutting up a little bit, and it's, you know, but it's me.
Right.
I'm going to be me. And if that doesn't work, then that doesn't work.
Right. No, that's good. That's good. So you talked a little bit about some of the things that you did with Boyer Academy, mm-hmm. especially earlier on. You did stuff at schools and
yes.
I guess parades and those kind of things.
Yes.
For most businesses, they might not necessarily work with the kids. So like on the Boyer painting side, where you're working with, I mean, families and homeowners yes. and probably business and property owners and whatnot, what kind of things do you think were effective for that you've seen, like the most effective community involvement type of events or opportunities that you had?
You know, I don't know if I could say there's anything in particular more okay. as just doing it. Some of the things that we do, there's stuff we do that I don't even publicize. That we don't advertise. I work with several different groups that work with children with terminal cancer. Mm. I go in and paint their bedrooms. We'll donate paint jobs. Mm-hmm. There's a youth organization in Troy called The Key. Great program. And we painted the whole place for them. Did the whole thing. And it was one of those that it was, I don't do it for the notoriety. It's for the fact that I do it for the pride of the fact that I can do it. Mm-hmm. I have a company that's successful enough that I can say, hey, you know what? This is probably a $10,000+ paint job. We're going to take care of that for you and go in and do it. And we enjoyed it. You know, my little two came up, I've got photos of them painting some pipes and stuff and coming in, sweeping up different things.
Yeah.
And I don't think you could establish it to just one thing. Cause I will admit both my businesses overlap quite a bit. I mean, I've painted almost every house of all my students, to be honest, or their cousins or aunts or grandparents. The other day I had my first painting bid that turned into a student. Normally it's the other way.
Right.
Yeah. And so that does, because of the way the Troy community is, that happens a lot. It overlaps. It's a very well known for that. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to focus on. Yes, we do print ads. We have radio ads, just signed a deal for a new digital billboard for both businesses. Mm-hmm. We do your traditional marketing. But if there's any way I can do something that's going to help the community, I would rather spend $10,000 on that than $100 to an out-of-state marketing company that's going to put an ad up.
Right.
If that makes sense. And I've tried to focus on that. Several years back, I kind of caught on to, not only did that help the business grow, but it made me feel good. Yeah. It made me feel really good. You know, if I have a student at the school that maybe really likes to kick heavy bag, mm-hmm. but doesn't have a heavy bag, and I've got an extra one, boom, here you go. My parents stopped me the other night, wanted to buy a heavy bag. And I said, you know, you can find them on the buy, sell, trade. The next day, an ex-student posted one, and she ended up giving it to the lady. Oh. It was brand new. She bought it for me last January. At Christmas time, we always do a big order.
Yeah.
Doing things like that make me feel good. And that's why I'm blessed to have my wife with me on this project, both the businesses, because there are times I get carried away. So it's very good. Sometimes I'll run stuff past her and she'll be like, I don't know. You know, let's look at the numbers on this. And I'll just kind of grin. She's like, and you're going to do it anyways. And it does, though. It makes me feel good. And I feel like, you know, anything that you can do to give back, whether it directly benefits you or not, is going to put your name out there.
Yeah.
And even if it doesn't put your name out there, it makes you feel good that you can do it. But I feel like it comes around.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's part of that bigger vision for business ownership and a bigger driver. You know, a lot of people get stuck, I think, in the daily grind. And some people get burnt out and lose motivation and
yes.
And being able to positively affect your community, I think also kind of reminds you of maybe a bigger cause and way to show that appreciation, and, you know, a way to just positively impact other people's lives. And I think it brings it back into focus in some ways.
Well, and for myself, we'll sit down and do the books on the business. Hey, we got to make X amount of dollars. We got this much payroll going out.
Yeah.
You know, I have goals, I have financial goals, but I don't sit at home and I like to use like Scrooge McDuck, you know, he dive into his coins. I don't sit home and be like, ooh, I need to make more money.
Right.
That doesn't motivate me. So I have to find other things to motivate me.
Yeah.
I do a lot of reading, a lot of books. I went to the 10X Growth Con in Las Vegas last year, Grant Cardone.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with everything he says, but one of the things that he does tell you is that it's your responsibility. If you have the ability to be successful, it's your responsibility to do it. Because not only can you take care of your loved ones, but you could take care of your community, those people around you that might not have that ability.
Yeah.
And for me, that drives me more than anything than the money. Now, granted, having a successful business is nice because I have a classic BMX addiction that my wife's trying to wean me off of. I brought home an old Corvette the other day that I shouldn't have bought. I text my wife. I'm like, hey, just found this. I do have things like that, but they're all cheaper hobbies. They're not like super crazy anything. I don't have super bad enough money for it anyways.
Yeah.
And I would rather do things. We donated to a program recently in Troy, and it felt great to do it. It just works out. And that motivates me more. And working with the kids at my school, I never sit down and think, oh, we need 5 more students this month. I look at it as I want to have this place packed full of people because that's the way I can impact the most people. As a martial arts instructor, I come in contact with more people than the average, in probably a month, than the average human being does in their lifetime. And that's a way to impact a ton of people positively.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I have to take things like that to look at it, you know, and thank God my wife sits and will double check the books and make sure I'm not doing anything, you know, going completely off the rails.
Right.
Which helps.
Right. It's good to have that balance.
We do. We may bicker and fight about stuff once in a while, but we are definitely a yin and yang in that aspect where she'll be like, hey, we got to get checks for this, this, and this. I'll be like, here, let's go do this thing up here for free. she'll be like, okay, you know what you're doing. Go for it.
Right.
So
right.
It works.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do. I have to attribute 99% of our success with trying to be as involved as humanly possible with the community.
Yeah.
You just can't go wrong. Even if I would say no matter which style of business or type of business you have, if you're giving back, I mean, as from a business standpoint, people are seeing your name.
Right.
We sponsored the fireworks out here. You know, anything like that, anything we can do, golf tournaments, anything where people are going to be there.
Yeah.
Not only are you helping your community, you're helping local organizations, but you are getting that ROI that people are seeing your logo.
Right.
They're seeing your name, and that's how you benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, for people who are watching, are there any, or listening, one of the two, are there any, like, what would you suggest just to kind of get started in terms of some sort of community involvement? Like, what's a good step for them to take?
Go to your local chamber of commerce.
Okay.
And talk to them. Our chamber out here was one of the biggest driving forces for me moving to Troy. I went in, they were glad to have us. The, people up there are great. I go to Rachel for all sorts of questions and issues and anything I can. And that's one way, if you have a good active chamber of commerce, that is how you can get yourself into the community because they're going to have a lot of stuff to help you and they're going to have the tools.
Yeah.
That has been one of the biggest resources for me. And then the people I met through that to continue getting involved. A lot of people would go through their church. I would think that would probably be a good aspect for some people also.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once you get into a business, to be honest, once you register that address, you get enough flyers in the mail asking for stuff that you could easily chase that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the number one thing with me is just chamber involvement. I'm always down to do stuff with them and I love it. It's been a great partnership.
Okay. So getting involved in the chamber is a great way. You know, I was also thinking too that, you know, when I talk with folks, I mean, if you can just find some causes that are important to you, you know, and
genuinely important.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's a great way for people to start. You know, cause for a lot of business owners that I talk to as well, you know, I was kind of talking a little bit about, you know, vision and, sometimes people kind of lose that vision of how to impact the community. And they get kind of stuck in the day-to-day grind. They forget kind of that bigger goal of how you can impact people. But, you know, cause when I talk to business owners, you know, I talk about, you know, what strategies you put in place to try to get to that point where you have more time and more money in your life and all that. But some people are like, well, I'm going to work every day. You know, I'm just going to keep doing this. It's like, well, you know, maybe there's better ways that you can get involved in your community. Like you're talking about, like, if you free up more of your time, you can go and paint a house for free, like you're talking about. You can go and do those things that are going to, you know, be positive karma and refuel your fire, right?
Yes, and it keeps you out there and active. I had somebody tell me one time, I don't remember who it was. I think it was someone selling me ad space, to be honest.
Yeah.
That he said, he goes, it was refreshing meeting you. He said, because you work on your business, not just in your business.
Right.
And I think I think there's places where people fall to where they either work in it, which I did a lot of. I taught all my classes and all that, and I still do. I still teach most of them. I have an awesome support staff that I couldn't live without.
Yeah.
But I love what I do, and I have trouble letting go of the reins. But you do. You have to do those things. And like you said, find something you're passionate about. If there's a cause that you're passionate about, if it's cancer, if it's feeding children, if it's something that you will make the time to get behind it. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'm a workaholic. When I used to work for Jiffy Lube, I was a store manager, and my district managers are always like, man, you need to have the employees do something. You're running around here doing this, doing that. You need to stand up here and delegate better.
Yeah.
And that wasn't my thing. And that's something that by finding things I was passionate about, I've had to force myself to delegate and to go focus on those, which then helps grow the business. You kind of have to. You have to train your brain. You have to trick yourself. If you find yourself getting into a rut, you have to trick yourself and say, hey, and I don't have all the answers, but I've looked at a lot of people and I've asked a lot of questions. I've been very blessed with a lot of people around me that when they did give me advice, I mean, I had a job when I was 17 working at a body shop, and I've seen him the other day and was teasing him. I'm like, I remember you told me this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
And I've always kept those lessons. Not a very smart person, but I don't know why I just was able to hold on to some of that stuff. Something in the back of my brain always said, you know, hey, you're gonna do a little more with this one day. Let's take that little tidbit, let's put it back here and hold on to it.
Well, by the way, you were critiquing dojos and dojangs and all that stuff when you were a kid.
Obviously, you were destined
to open your own.
My dad hated his job, and he always told me, we had this conversation yesterday. He always was, you know, because I had job offers with teaching martial arts. I always, at a very young age, I got management offers from companies I work for. Hey, let's make you a manager, you know, and let's bump you up real quick because I could teach a class. My old instructor, when they would call her about jobs, they'd be like, what does Matt do? And she'd say, well, he takes 30 kids, ages 5 to 9, lines them up and teaches them an hour long martial arts class. And they'd be like, really, is he interested in management? She used to call me all the time. She'd be like, you totally got the job, and I'm pretty sure they want to promote you to something. I was like, oh, thanks. That's great. She's like, well, I told him what you do at the school. But that was always offered. And my father always told me, don't do it for the money.
Yeah.
Do what you're passionate about. And he helped me get the school going. And then for years I kind of cussed him because the school was not doing well and it was hard and it was a business and I was working all the time. And I'd have people send me a Facebook message about martial art classes on a Sunday night. I'd get up out of bed groggy. I'd respond to them. They'd be like, whoa, you're responding. Yeah, this is important to me.
Yeah.
And I still try to follow those guidelines, but for years I was broke. I was like, why couldn't you just get me a job at General Motors like you did my brother?
Yeah.
Like, come on, I could be making good money, solid job. And he's like, no, because you won't be happy. He goes, I'm miserable. Yeah. He gave up on his dream when he was younger. My grandfather wouldn't let him pursue it.
Oh, wow.
And so he pushed me and pushed me no matter what. Like I said, there was a lot of nights I was sitting home with my own business, broke as could be, going, man, I'm going to kill that old man. Like, we could have... You know, I could have been cushy right now. And now I'm very happy that I did what I did, but it takes getting over that hump, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Awesome. So I guess in quick summary, find your passions and go after them in your business, but then also find some bigger impact type passions in your community or ways that you can kind of give back.
Yes.
And let that be almost kind of a driver for in some ways taking your business to the next level, because it encourages you to figure out, you know, how can you do more to give back in terms of your time or resources or whatever that might be.
So it's good. It makes you have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to put those things in place. Oh, I love it. I love it. And, you know, I guess we'll go quote Grant Cardone and give credit where credit's due. It's your responsibility to be successful because other people might not be able to.
Yeah.
And that gives you the,
I love that. That's absolutely what does it for me.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much today, Matt. If people want to get a hold of you, maybe take some classes or be able to you know, get their house painted or whatever, how do they get a hold of you?
BoyerAcademy.com or BoyerPainting.com. Both websites are up. You can email us at that or pull it up and call us at 636-696-3235.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you. And
thank you.
Thanks for listening and watching. This has been Time for Success with your host, Matt Barbee. And if you really want a business that will give you the time to do those bigger things, have that bigger impact in your life, whether that's spending more time with your family or, you know, taking your family and doing bigger things in your community or whatever that might be, please feel free to reach out. That's what we do. 314-441-5423. Thanks.